It's one of Rav Wolfson's, I think, most famous Ma'amarim. And it's called Hamaraya V'Hamachpela. And it's really important. I always find you learn these parshios, this parsha, Habalina Latova, Amaras HaMachpela. You start thinking about Eretz Yisrael, you think the way Eretz Yisrael is, the way it could be, the way it should be, and how sad we should feel being so far away from it. It's important to not, you know, duck beneath the surface, but to face it, and to think about what Eretz Yisrael is. What Eretz Yisrael is when we're physically in Eretz Yisrael, what Eretz Yisrael also means to us when we're not yet in Eretz Yisrael. So let's see. Hamoriah v'hamachpela. Yeah? Har Hamoriah. Har Hamoriah v'hamachpela. And Maras HaMachpela. He starts off a little bit poetic, but we'll work our way through the words. Be'eretz chemda tova shehinchil HaKadosh Baruch Hu lavoseinu lenachla ulmorasha b'toras matana. When we think about Eretz Yisrael, the great gift, the Eretz Chemda Tova that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. Yeshamnam shnei mekomos shechi b'yaseru nodas lahem. There are two places in particular that have a unique place in the hearts and minds of the Jewish people. There's a lot of places in Eretz Yisrael that are precious to Klal Yisrael. But there are two places which seem to be not necessarily connected, which are in fact very deeply connected, and have a unique place in the hearts and minds of Klal Yisrael. Shelachlum avos ha'olam mitoshvei ha'aretz b'kesef malei, places that were acquired b'kesef malei. And he explains b'kesef malei doesn't only mean that they paid a good price for it with good money. Kesef malei means kisufim va'ahava maleya al kol gidosa. Kesef, which means silver, of course, is also a lashon of longing, nichsof nichsafti, a lashon of ahava, of intense love, kisufim, intense loving and longing. So there's two places where we paid good money for it. It also means that we acquired it with our hearts. A place of tremendous connection, of overflowing ahava. And they are, Vehem, Har HaMoriah, Usdeh HaMachpelah, Maras HaMachpelah, and Har HaMoriah, and the Makom HaMikdash. V'kedai lizabonin ma tivam ma tovam shal shnei makomos ha'ila, shenishtabchu tzadikim akadmonim, alam shemasru nafshem aleim lasigam. We need to understand what was it about these two places that made everyone so crazy. That tzaddikim were risking life and limb and paying big bucks just to get it, to get to it, to own it, to get a glimpse of it. Acha'od hayom anu ma'orim zuchusam. B'shavchenu siach v'parshas shkalim v'omer. That to this day, for those who still say the tefillos in the back of the archival sitter, which no one does, very few people do, we say the yotros and the piyutim and all those things that are found in the back. By parshas shkalim, there's a piyut, there's a tefillah. Dodi zachor li shekli Ephron, asher shakol av, turn the page, b'mechpal chevron, chakar shekli yivusi mashvisi, charon zachor li ad ledor acharon. That in Parshas Shkalim, we make reference to the shekel, the best money we ever spent was Ephron, by Maras HaMachpelah, right? And was David HaMelech acquiring the Makom HaMikdash. From who? From Aravna HaYavusi. Yeah? So we remember Ephron and the Yavusi, and the things that we acquired from them are the best possessions, best things we ever invested in. Buying Har Moriah, buying the Makom HaMikdash, acquiring the Makom HaMikdash, and acquiring Maras HaMachpelah. That Ad Dor HaAchron, says the Piyut, these are the best acquisitions. So let's try to understand what's so special about these places. I'll ask a few questions to begin. V'na'ira v'na'ora kushiosu sveikos achados v'mikroi kodesh v'divir chazal. Let's begin with just a few of the many questions we could ask on the Pesukim and on Chazal. Asher b'nesoseinu lefoisram, when we try to resolve them and answer them, yizrechu be'ezos Hashem, yizbarach, mibein apisronim, and we'll emerge from all of these solutions to these riddles, k'tzas karne ora, asher la'oram nira lefi kochenu, as yakar teferas mikdashenu u'mivchar kvarenu. That we'll be able, by the light which will emerge from these questions and the answers, we'll be able to have a new understanding, lefi madregosenu, according to our level, of the preciousness of the Makom HaMikdash and the place of the Kvur of the Avos. We need to understand what is it about these two places and what's the message of these two places that is super relevant in our world today. And that's how we're always fighting over these places. Har Abayis, Chevron, these are places of great struggle, and there's good reason for it. So let's see. B'parshas Chayesara v'yu Chayesara b'kiryas arba hi Chevron. Right. This is the life of Sarah, dot, v'gomer, Kiryas Arba, hi Chevron. Says Rashi, why is it called Kiryas Arba? Al Shem Arba Anakim Shehayusham. It's named for the four giants who were there. Achimon, Sheshai, V'talmai, V'avihem. Davar Acher, Al-Shem Dalet Zugos, Shenik V'Rusham. Adam V'Chava, Avram V'Sara, Yitzchak V'Rivka, Yaakov Aleha. Why is it called Kiryas Arba? Either it's named over four giants who once upon a time lived there, or it's named for the four pairs, these four couples that are buried there. Adam and Chava, Avram and Sarah, Yitzchak and Rivka, Yaakov and Leah. Anyone have a question on this Rashi? Don't cheat. Think about it for a second. Okay. But in terms of these two pshatim, okay, that might be the answer b'derech hapshat to the question that I want you to ask. If I'm Rashi and I'm writing the Torah, right? Davar Acher, the Avos are buried there? How about Davar Acher, a couple of giants once owned the place? That's the Davar Acher. Why does Rashi, he says, Revolts, it's Tzarech Lahavim. Malkum Kadosh Kazet Yikra Al-Shem Dalid Rishayim Arurim B'nei Anak? These giants, these troublemakers, these people, we're so far from everything that we stand for. That's why it's called Kiryas Arba? Maybe that's the afterthought. It's also called Kiryas Arba because of the four giants who once owned the place, who once lived there. V'od Rashi hiktim tam Kiryas Hashem al Shemam kodem tam Hasheni shol Kiryas Hashem al Shem Avos HaKadoshim. B'chalal to mention that it's called Kiryas Arba because of them is already a question. All the more so to mention it first, to say that the Iker reason it's called Kiryas Arba, it's because of these four giants. It's very hard to understand. Thank you to highlight the Adam and Chav and the Avos and the Imos. That's question number one. Next paragraph. Question number two. The Gemara at the beginning of Maseches Kedushin, which we learned last year, Yalfinan Kedushay Kesef Kicha Kicha Miste Ephron. We learn that you can acquire a woman with Kesef, and not only that you can acquire, that's the Minhag Yisrael. That we use Kesef, or Shava Kesef, a ring. We use Kesef to perform Kiddushin under the Chuppah. Mir Tashem, you'll be able to say, Harei HaMikudesh Asli, and you'll give your wife Kesef, or Shava Kesef, a ring. Yeah. Where do we learn it from? From the acquisition of Marisa Machpelah from a Rasha whose name was Ephron. A big Rasha. So says Rav Wolfson, where it's underlined, Tzar Rebir, Sharei Chazinot Yisrael Choshen B'Kiddushin, Sheba Ofen Simon Tov. We know that a wedding has a lot of things that we try to do in a particular way, to be ma'orer, a simen bracha, a simen tov. V'lachayin isa b'poskim, shemekachin isha, dafcha b'tchila sachodesh, she'ereach mischadish. That's why many people are makpid to get married at the beginning of the month when the moon is growing in strength. V'chayin makpidin, shliachupa, tachas kipas arakiyah, tachas akochavim. And we want to get married under the stars, right? Or at least under an opening in the roof, in order to be able to have the bracha of being under the heavens, which is a simen tov. U'v'gemar resh ksubis, and we try to get married on a day that is filled with bracha from creation of the world. So we have many things that we do in order to be ma'orah the bracha of the marriage. We don't get married at certain points of the calendar year because it's a time of din. We don't want to bring din into a marriage. We want to bring chesed and love and rachamim into the marriage. The cost of a base Yosef, it's not a simon tov. V'chahena rabos, and there's many. And you start to get married, and you start looking into these things. Okay, you don't have to make yourself crazy. You don't have to get into a fight with your caller, your in-laws, because they want to get married on a particular date. And there are other halachic considerations also. Right? But these are real things. They're in the Shulchan Aruch. They're not just in, you know, the back of Tamayam and Hagim. These are things that are on the books. V'yadua mashakosu v'svarim ha-kadoshim. Sha'ora shal kol ha-mitzvah nimtzav mesecha shemishtoiba. And the light and the kedusha of the mitzvah is found in the Masechta. So if you want to really experience Sukkah, you have to learn Masechta Sukkah. If you want to experience marriage, you have to learn Masechta's Kedushin. And all of the Hashba of the Kedushin is found, right, all the potential of your marriage is found within the Masechta. Which is why it's a nice thing. You can learn the Mishnayos before you get married, maybe. Learn the Masechta before you get married, whatever you can do. Each person according to his Madrega. Well, Lefi Zeh, so he says where it's underlined, Kol Ha'or Shel Kedushin V'Chol Ha'Slachasa Nimsa Masechta's Kedushin. So all the success of your marriage is dependent on Maseches Kedusha. And as I've told you in the past, Kedusha, the whole Masechta, is already rooted in that first Mishnah. The same way the apple seed produces the apple tree and produces all the future fruit. So the first Mishnah, the opening, the beginning of Kedusha contains the secret to a successful marriage. Ha'isha niknes b'kesef, .. the rest of the Masechta. Kesev. Hold on a second. Let's think about this. V'lechein, he says it's a Pella. It's a wonderment. That what? Lo matia kazo is, why would we start Maseches Kedushin by learning Kedushin from the Kinyan of a burial plot of Sarah from Ephron, which was a big to-do, and Avram's getting ripped off, and he's embarrassing himself by bowing down to the Bnei Ches, which again in Halacha was a question, but Avram had his kavanas, but it doesn't look right. The whole thing doesn't look right. He's getting ripped off. He's getting bullied. He's talking one way, but he's not actually doing it. V'chol yisom mekachim mekesef. Asher sharshu makora hu mikinyan kever. That you want to dafka begin a marriage by what? By focusing on the grave? Because the marriage is going to be the end of you? What are we trying to say? What's the imagery in Haisha Niknes Bekesef? And you start thinking, oh yeah, Kesef. Avram got ripped off burying his wife. That's the image you want to bring under the chuppah to start the marriage? Getting ripped off and burying your wife? You give you a bracha, you don't get ripped off under the chuppah. And I give you a bracha, you don't have to bury your wife anytime soon. That's why, how is that the beginning of Rachmana Litzlan? How is that the beginning of a healthy marriage? That's the whole beginning of the Masechta. Like we said, that everything is drawn after the head. The Shoresh, the starting point of the whole marriage. The starting point of Maseches Kedushin, which contains all of the Ur and all of the Hatzlacha in your married life, is found in those words, Haisha Niknes Bekesef. And yet it's such a sad scene. What's the gematria of Ephron, by the way? What's the gematria of Ephron? Spell without a vav, because whenever you have a shame of a rasha, even if it's sometimes spelled in the Torah with a vav or a hey or a yod, which are letters of Hashem's name, if we can take it out, we do. Ephron, I think, spelled without a vav, at least some of the time. What is it? No, I don't think so. It's 400, right? It's 400. 400, a good number or a bad number? What do you say about the number 400? Right, everything's both. Right? Esav came with his 400 men. Yeah, Esav came with his 400 men. How much does Ephron charge, by the way, from Maaseh Machpelah? 400. Also 400. Right? When Esav's coming to kill Yaakov, he comes with 400 men. The Sfarim HaKadoshim say that 400 is gematria ayin ra. Ayin ra. That's why Yaakov is able to say, Yeshli kol, I have everything that I could possibly want. And Esav says, Yeshli rav, I'm doing okay. He needs a few extra bucks. Right? So when Esav comes with 400 ra, ayin ra, right? Ayin ra. And that's exactly what Ephron is. Right? Ephron's got a bad eye. Ephron said, well, you know, I'll give it to you for free, but if you want to pay me a ton of money. Right? The midah of ayin ra is the opposite of being mistapik b'muat, of being sameach b'chelko. That's what Ephron's claiming that he's saying, but it's not true. It's an esav midah. The whole midah of Klal Yisrael is ayin tov, to try to see the good in everything. That's why Yaakov lived 147 years, which is the Matra Ayin Tov, the Vilna Gaon says. Esav's whole world is his 400 men, his 400 thugs, which B'derech HaPshat means he came with 400 people, right? But on a deeper level, it means that Esav came with his bad perspective. And that's why he thought that Yaakov was a bad guy, when he's really the abusive one in the relationship. Okay? So anyway, but this is the Ephron. Ephron's not the type of person who we want to start our marriage with. Not exactly the type of person we want to bring under the chuppah. And certainly not the thought of burying a spouse. It's certainly not the imagery we want to take under the chuppah. B'medrash Rabbah Parshas Vayetze. Vayar v'hinei be'er basade zotzion. Shalosha edret son rovtsim aleha ilu gimel malchios v'gomer. V'nasfu shama kol adarim zomachas revias. V'yishivu es ha'even elasid lavo. V'hinei rachel bito ba'a matzon. Hadahu dechsev, kol berama nishma nihibechi tamurim, Rachel mevaka b'nei avagomer, ko amar Hashem, Rachel stop crying, mini kolech mibechi, v'shavu banam l'gvula. Says the Medrash in Parshas Vayetze, remember the scene? Yaakov comes to the well, and the shepherds are sitting around, right, and no one's shepherding, and they say, we're waiting for everyone to gather, and then all of a sudden Rachel shows up. Remember the scene? So says the Medrash, he sees a be'er basadeh, that's a reference to Tzion. And he sees there are three clusters of three shepherds with their sheep, refers to the three exiles of Jewish history. And then Nesu Kol HaDarim, then everyone would gather, that refers to the fourth and the longest gullus, the one that we're still in today. And then Vayishivu HaSe'evin, to roll off the rack, Lasid Lavo, right? To be able to extract the water, to remove the blockage, whatever's stopping us from getting close to Hashem. And then Rachel comes with the Tzon. Rachel, of course, refers to the Psukim in Yirmiyah, where Rachel is davening for Klal Yisrael, V'shavu Banam L'Gvulam. Okay. So within that scene of Yaakov coming to the well and giving Musa to the shepherds and Rachel showing up and Yaakov rolling off the rock, somehow it contains all of the suffering of Jewish history and the eventual salvation of Klal Yisrael. And Mama Rachel crying over the Jewish people. It says Rav Wolfson, top of the left column, where it's underlined, V'tzarech bir, kishaba Yaakov lebeis lavan lisa isha, lama ha'erahu kol ha'galios v'shiva sion. Yaakov is like beginning to build a home for himself. He's also on his way to get married. And immediately, the first image he has, right before he meets Rachel, right before his whole, you know, shidduch and married life starts to take form, Yaakov experiences the scene at the well, which Chazal say is really representative of all of Golas and all of Geula. All of the exiles and the eventual return to Tzion. Why? What does that have to do with Yaakov getting married? Why can't it say Yaakov showed up at the well, he met some lazy shepherds, he gave them Musar and he found his Basher? Chazal say, no, that's not what happened. The three shepherds are the three exiles, and then everyone gathered is the fourth exile. And Rachel's crying is the future Rachel crying for Jews in Golas, and then eventually Vishavu Banam L'Gvula. What do we need all that for? It's a nice drasha. What does that have to do with Yaakov finding a shidduch? But Pasuk goes further. It says Yaakov kisses Rachel. Vayishak Yaakov l'Rachel vayisas kola vayef. Yaakov gives Rachel a kiss. Remember the Orach Chaim HaKadosh says he didn't kiss her on the lips, he didn't kiss her on the cheek, kissed her on the head or on the shoulder, the way one kisses a child in a very sweet and innocent way. Many tzaddikim have said that the reason Yaakov is crying in this pasuk is because people are going to say, oh look, Yaakov kissed his girlfriend, so I can kiss my girlfriend. So Yaakov's already crying over the fact that people are going to abuse this pasuk. That's why he's crying. It's Rav Elia Lopian said. But Yaakov kissed Rachel, a very innocent kiss to his cousin, and all of a sudden he starts to cry. Says Rashi, "Bachem b'nei shetzofa she'inu nechnesas imo lekvura." He just met her 2 seconds ago. And he's crying over the fact that she's not going to be buried in Maris Machpelah. That they're going to be buried apart from one another. What are you crying about already? Why are you crying? V'zet zorach bir. V'chi ma'ich basle sh'al do kabachi. You're worried about that right now. That they're not going to get married. That they're not going to be buried together. V'yoser yesh tam livchus. Sh'tistalik b'dmei yomel. And if you want to cry about something, you know what you should cry about? Maybe cry about the fact that Rachel's going to die giving birth to your child. That she's not going to live a long life by your side? You're crying about the fact that when you're both dead, you're not going to be buried together? That's what you're crying about. If you have Ruach HaKodesh, cry about the fact that she's going to die a tragic death, giving birth to Binyamin. And she's going to leave a baby, a kid who was born who never met his mother. That's something to cry about. Well, if you pnimius ha'inyan, where it's underlined, ein makom l'rachali kaver maris machpelah. But of course, the depth of the matter is that Rachel cannot be buried alongside Yaakov Avinu and Maris Machpelah. K'mavur b'svarim ha'kadoshim sh'leya imenu hi b'chinas alma d'iskasya v'lachein hi tzricha likavar b'maris machpelah makom b'chusa. The difference between Rachel and Leah is the following. Leia represents a hidden depth. Leia has to be the one who's buried underground because Leia is not so beautiful on the surface. That's what the pasuk says. Right? Leia's eyes are weepy, whatever that means. They're soft. Rachel is so beautiful on the surface. Leia is the world, in the Svarim HaKadoshim, of the Alma Diskasya, concealed world. Leia is hidden. The depth of Leia is hidden from us. And therefore she needs to be buried in Maris Machpelah in a place that's hidden. Rachel Imenu, hi bechinas Alma Disgalia. Rachel represents what? Revealed beauty, revealed goodness. And therefore Rachel is buried where? Not in a cave, not in some deep underground cavern. Right? But where is Rachel buried? On the side of the road, out in the open, available for all to see. So much so that Rav Wolfson writes in brackets here, he quotes what they say from Masos Yerushalayim, that tzaddikim, when Rav Moshe, when Moses Montefiore, yeah, when the generous, he says, the generous Nadiv, and the generous, what's the word for a rich guy? Gvir. No, not Gvir. I know Gvir is the what? Sure. No, like an English word. A person who gives a lot of money. Philanthropist. The philanthropist, thank you. When the philanthropist Moses Montefiore wanted to build a more proper binyan for Kever Rachel, the Rav Tzadiki said that's a bad idea. Because they understood in Pnimiyas HaTorah that Rachel is supposed to be the Alma Disgalia. She's supposed to be out in the open. She's supposed to be in a state of revelation. Right? So Wolfson says, at the end of the paragraph, says, "Mikol makom adayin hu makom pumbi aliyam aderech." It's still enough out in the open. It's not buried beneath the surface. it's still more out in the open than let's say Maris Machpelah. V'Yaakov Avinu Bavada Yalda Bechinasa V'Laman Itzdar Al Shalot Yichanis L'Mara. And therefore it begs the question, if Yaakov Avinu is able to see so much into the future, if he understands so deeply everything there is to know, so why doesn't Yaakov understand that she needs to be buried on the side of the road? Why doesn't Yaakov understand Bashkocha Pratis, that Leah is the Alma Diskasya, the concealed world, and Rachel is the revealed world, and therefore she has to be buried out in the open? Why is Yaakov crying over the fact that she's not going to be buried by his side in Maris Machpelah? Okay? However, let's keep working. The Ramban in Parshas Vayechi, in the next paragraph. V'ani bevoi mipadan. Yaakov Avinu recounts how on his way from Padan, Mesa alai Rachel. Rachel dies on the way. Shelo kaver Yaakov Avinu es Rachel Maris Machpelah. B'bnei shayabosh me'avosav. The Ramban explains an interesting thing. You know why Rachel wasn't buried in Maris Machpelah? Yaakov was too embarrassed. Why did he bury her on the side of the road? He couldn't get her to Maris Machpelah. He was too embarrassed to bring her to Maris Machpelah. Why? Well, because Leah is going to be buried in Maris Machpelah. No, so be buried with both of them. They're out of space. There was no room. All the spots were used up. So says the Ramban, Yaakov was embarrassed. What was he embarrassed of? He was embarrassed of being married to two sisters. The Torah says you're not allowed to be married to two sisters. And Yaakov Avinu was embarrassed that he was married to two sisters. And since he was married to Rachel, to Leah first, and Rachel was, so to speak, the wife that he took, Be'isser, so he was embarrassed to be buried alongside Avram and Yitzchak and Adam and Chava. They're going to be judging him. They're going to say he's not so from. He married two sisters. So in his embarrassment, he buried Rachel on the side of the road. It says Rav Wolfson, V'tzarech Bir, Eich Yitochin Sheyakov Avinu HaBechir Sheba'avos Yaseh Dabar Shetzarech Libosh Bo Mi'avosav. How could Yaakov, who we say is the best of the avos, the bechir shabavos, the choicest of avos, how could he do something which would be a source of embarrassment and disgrace to who? To the avos. Right? Meaning if it's awesome, then he wouldn't do it. And if it's mutter, then he doesn't have anything to be embarrassed of. What, he wasn't embarrassed of God? Oh, he did it knowing it was wrong. He's embarrassed of Avram and Yitzchak. He's embarrassed of Sarah and Rivka. He's embarrassed of Adam and Chava, but he's not embarrassed of Hashem. He did it. He married two sisters. If he thought it was wrong, he shouldn't have done it. He had to do it. Says Rav Wolfson in the bottom paragraph. Add just a little bit more and then we'll start to get the answer. In Parshas Vayeshev, Vayishlacheyu me'emech Chevron. What's it talking about? He was sent from the Emech Chevron, Yosef being sent to his brothers. And of course, we know what's going to happen. Right? Yosef's going to end up being sold to Mitzrayim. Perish Rashi, everything was being orchestrated through the advice, through the guidance of the tzaddik who is buried in Chevron. Klomar, Yosef halach ladarko limachem Mitzrayim. It was all part of the divine plan. Yeah, from Avram, who's buried in Chevron, that this is all part of the plan of Jewish history, that Yosef has to go to Mitzrayim, and from there good things will emerge in a very roundabout way. In fulfillment of what Hashem told to the one who was buried in Chevron, Avram Avinu, this is part of the fulfillment. But Avram was told long ago that, yeah, Jews are going to have to go into exile. So Yosef is sent to his brothers, and it begins a whole process of what? It begins a whole process of galus. V'kasha, v'chi eiza sheiches yesh l'kfuras Avram Avinu al v'shalom b'chevron l'mechiras Yosef. So I understand you want to say that Avraham was told by Brisbane and Basarim that the Jews need to go into exile. And I understand that Yaakov sending Yosef to the brothers is going to put into motion the Jews going to exile. But why do I have to mention that Avraham is buried in Chevron? What does that have to do with anything? Why do you say, oh, he was sent from Eim Chevron? Yes, because Avraham was buried in Chevron and also had Brisbane and Basarim was told that there's going to be an exile. What does Chevron have to do with anything? Why do I have to mention the fact that Avraham is buried in Chevron as part of explaining the fulfillment of the Brisbane Basarim that Yosef has to be sold to Mitzrayim? Why do you have to throw Chevron in there? As if that's like the defining thing of Avram's life, that he's buried in Chevron. Hard to understand. Why not talk about what? Talk about the fact that the Brisbane Basarim took place in Chevron, according to some. The Brisbane Basarim Haya Bechevron, according to the Sefer Niflos Mitoras Hashem. Visham Namar Kigeri Azaracha. So talk about the fact that Avram was told there's going to be galus in Chevron. Why do I have to mention that Avram is buried in Chevron? And because he's buried in Chevron, right, and Brisbane and Asarim happened, so Yosef is sold to Mitzrayim. So Chevron, we have a lot of questions. A lot of questions spanning most of Chumash Bereishis. Okay? So now we turn to the top of page Samach Dal. We're not going to get through this whole piece. I'm not pretending we're going to. But I'd like to try to get a few more pages through it. So says Rav Osher Wolfson. Now we're ready for some answers. He named a Midrashim Besvar Makadoshim, top of page Samach Dalet. In the Midrashim, in the works of Chassidus and Pnimius the Torah, he fligu begodol mailas maras hamachpela. Maras hamachpela has many wondrous statements said about it. For example, number one, kisham ha-pesach legan Eden v'chol ha-neshamos overos derach sham. Every neshama comes and goes through Gan Eden by way of Maras HaMachpelah. V'alkei nikris over la-socher. That's why the money that Avram spent in this week's parsha to acquire Maras HaMachpelah is over la-socher, because it's a place of exchanges. Maras HaMachpelah is the entrance point and the exit point from Gan Eden to this world. Klomar she'over misham la-makom dar v'socheres. The Yalkut Ruveni says you come from the world of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to this transient world of give and take. Right, a world of dealing and wheeling and business moves. So all that takes place by way, your neshama comes to this world by way of Maras HaMachpelah. Number two, Maras HaMachpelah is not just a place where the Avos are buried, but it's a place where till this very day the Avos and Imos are davening for us, trying to bring Yeshua to Klal Yisrael from that place. Chazal even goes so far as to say that Ilu Hayim Ispalim Shloshim Ke'echad, if Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov would daven together, if the Avos would daven together, immediately Mashiach would come. Furthermore, the Yalkut Ruveni says, in the name of the Megala Mukos, shekol ha-tfilos overos derach sham, that when you daven a mincha, let's make it a hecha kedusha mincha, in the hallway of the second floor of Gluck, as you're running from one class to the next, you should know your tefillah goes straight from the second floor of Gluck to Maras HaMachpelah, and by way of Maras HaMachpelah, goes up to the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's what it says. Shekol ha-tfilos overos derach sham. Your tefillah flies to Maras HaMachpelah, passes by the Avos and Imaos, hopefully they touch it up a little bit, and then they send it up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Uvizar kadosh, at the beginning of this parsha, Isa ki ikar shei machpelah koi al Yerushalayim. V'lechei nikar sadeh zu machpelah ki mekusheres hiim Yerushalayim. It's interesting, because everything we just said really sounds like what Yerushalayim is. I thought the tefillahs go by way of Yerushalayim. I thought my neshama comes through Yerushalayim. Says the Tzar, yes, Machpelah is actually a term that's associated with Yerushalayim. And this Sdeh HaMachpelah, this Maras HaMachpelah, is somehow intimately connected to Yerushalayim. Well, what do I need two places for? V'tzarech lahavin, eich olos ha-tefillah derech HaMachpelah, halo olos hein derech Yerushalayim. As Rashi says, v'zeh shar ha-shamayim. And now we get to the most important question. We've asked a lot of tangential questions which we're going to answer. But the most important question is, we started this maimer by saying that there are two places in Eretz Yisrael that are unique for Klal Yisrael. Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh, the Makom HaMikdash, Har Moriah, and Maras HaMachpelah. And now we're asking the question, well, what do I need two for? And it seems like the same things that I always thought happened in Yerushalayim apparently also happened in Maras HaMachpelah. That's where my neshama comes through. That's where my tefillos go through. I thought all that comes through the mikdash. V'od tzarech lahavin emamnam olas tefillos derech sham, lama ein anu mechavnim es panenu betfila lechevron, k'mosh anu mechavnim l'Yerushalayim. And why do we not point, when we daven, our Shmona Esrei, why don't we point in the direction of Chevron, the same way we point in the direction of Yerushalayim? Sounds like they're equally important places. What's the difference between Chevron and Yerushalayim? So look what he develops. Vinira, b'zeh b'ezras Hashem Yisbarach. Ki Yerushalayim v'chevron heim be'emes inyan echad u'mikol makom hu davar v'hifucho. It's an important line. That's true about everything in Kol HaTorah Kula. Yerushalayim and Chevron, he says, are one inyan, two sides of the same coin, so to speak, and yet heim davar v'hifucho. Yerushalayim and Chevron are a thing and its opposite. And sometimes a thing and its opposite are very, very deeply connected. Like the first word of the Torah and the last word of the Torah. Superficially, the farthest from each other. In truth, the closest to each other, because the second I get to Leinei Kol Yisrael, I go back to Bereishis. So you can have something that looks like opposites, but there's a very, very deep connection that they share. Take the two goats of Yom Kippur. Sar la Hashem, Sar la Azazel. Can you get anything more different than that? A goat that's thrown off the cliff and ripped to shreds, and a goat that's going to bring Kapara to Klal Yisrael. And yet, they cost the same. They look like the same height. Right? Because sometimes with a deep understanding, you understand that two things which superficially could be very distant from one another are deeply, deeply connected.
The letters we were speaking
about in Shir. Right, rearranging the letters, exactly. The same letters which could be kares can also be a kesser. The same letters that could be a nega, could be tsaras, could be oneg, exactly. So it's all a question of perspective. Good point. That's why they say, I forget what Tzaddik says it, they say that the words la'azazel, the word la'azazel, sar la'azazel, which again is so comparable to the Sar Hashem in terms of the Mishnayos and Yoma and the halachic requirements of what it looks like and, right, and how much it costs and where you bought it and when you bought it. Everything about it is connected to its Sar Hashem. And the lottery is the only thing that's going to separate the two. So the Sfarim say that La Azazel, at the word Azazel is meramis to a pasuk that we quote very often in the 7th parak of Koheles, pasuk Yud Dalet, 7:14. Kohelis 7:14 says, "Megamez ze luumas ze asa elokim." Ze luumas ze asa elokim is Rashi Tevos Azazel. What does that mean? Ze luumas ze asa elokim. It's a scientific principle. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. Right? For a thing, there's an opposite thing that opposes it. For everything good in the world, there's Hashem to create a balance of bechira. For all the good things Hashem gave you, for the Yetzer Tov gave you, also gave you Yetzer Hara. So for everything good, there's an opposite. There's something that opposes it. So Azazel, which is the ultimate example of something that opposes Kedusha, but parallels Kedusha, Azazel is Rashi Tevos, Ze Lu'umas Ze Asa Elokim. Which is the Pasuk of Kohelis that describes this one opposite that one Hashem has created, to realize that there's a delicate balance in the world. So Chevron Yerushalayim, right, even though he calls them Davar V'Hifucho, it's really one inyan. It's again, it's two sides of the same coin. Ki Yerushalayim hu makom bachar Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose Yerushalayim as the place where he would dwell. U'misgalav b'hadro le'ein kol b'giloy shechina u'v'haras panim. Yerushalayim is the place of revealed godliness. When you have a Beis HaMikdash, the whole world knows that there's a God. When Klal Yisrael had a Beis HaMikdash, Mor HaMikdash, you walk into the place, and immediately this awesome fear and respect and dread falls upon a person. Mor HaMikdash is not just halacha, you have to be overwhelmed in the Beis HaMikdash. You should feel overwhelmed. It's that you do feel overwhelmed. You're in the presence of Hashem. You feel it. Lefnei Hashem titar. You mamash feel it. So Yerushalayim is a place of what? Of revealed godliness. Bisham hayu asara nisim tadirim. Like it says in Pirkei Avos, open miracles taking place. Asara nisyonos nasa be Beis HaMikdash Yerushalayim. Uvahar Hashem yera'eh. Right? Like it says in the pasuk in this past week's parsha, the place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is seen, Kamo Sheperesh Rashi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Misra'a Shem LiYisrael, Hashem appears to Klal Yisrael there. U'kedushas HaMakom, Hu Mishlosh HaAvos, She'av Mispal LoSham, that it should become a Makom Tefillah. Right? That the whole place became a place of Tefillah, and we still feel the impression in a revealed way of the Avos there. Yerushalayim, the Makom HaMikdash, it's open godliness. Bottom paragraph on the right-hand column. U'mara Samach Pela. But the very opposite of such obvious, clear revelation, clear godliness, is a cave buried deep in the ground. A place that no one goes, that no one could see, no one has access to. Marasuach Pela is the opposite from the Giloy V'Haras Panim. Ki Ad Rabba Tmunim Gimel Avos, Mara Lifnim Imara. It's a cave within a cave, it's a double cave, a Marasuach Pela, it's a double cave. It's a hidden place. Visham Hu Bechinas V'Shachavtim Avosai. It's the opposite of the Makum Shispalu Avosai. It's not the place where the Avos served Hashem. It's the place where the Avos retired. Didn't do anything. Way beneath the surface. Yerushalayim, hu al har marom harim v'nikra har Hashem yira'eh, giloy lakol, v'anan Hashem chofif alav kol yom. And you could see a cloud of glory. Avram is on his way to Akedah Yisrael. He sees a cloud hovering over the mountain. He sees the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'yar samakum mirachol. He saw God. From a distance, he could perceive Hashem. That's what Yerushalayim is. And the place of Maris Machpela is a place where the Avos are not alive. Yerushalayim is a place where the Avos served Hashem, where the Avos were alive, where the Avos defined the Kedusha of Yerushalayim through their tefillas. Maris Machpela is a place where they're just there, they're dead. We don't interact with them, we don't see them, we don't know what's happening there. So how are these two things connected? Look what he says. Top of the left column. V'nei kol Yisrael klulim ba'avos HaKadosh. Every one of us is rooted in the Avos. Sharei onu zar'am, because we are their children. Vizman hayu b'mekedem shehem hayu hayehudim hayechidim ba'olam. There was a time when there was no one other than the Avos. V'chol meshach zarim hayu adayin nimtzom behem kol echel lafi b'chinasa. There was a time when there wasn't 15 million Jews in the world. There was a time when there was Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Right? A fledgling family. I wouldn't even call it a nation yet. And yet, all of us, like the apple seed that contains all the future apples, we were contained within the Avos. V'chol ish v'yisrael hu chelek u b'china v'masha hayu lefnim kolul b'shirkoma shal Avos HaKadoshim. And now, you are revealed, you've become a revealed aspect of the Avos. You were once a concealed, you were once within the Avos, now you're out in the world. V'chol bar nashu olam katan, you've become your own miniature universe. V'chol ma sheish ba'olam yesh gam bo. And therefore, everything that's in the world is in you. Look what Rav Wolfson saying. We're Avos. The Avos contained us. Now we're born. We become an Olam Katan. Chazal say every person's an Olam Katan. Which means that within us is the whole world. Which means within us is Yerushalayim. And within us is Amaras Machpela. And now Rav Wolfson's really ready to tell us what he's talking about. V'yotze mizeh. She'esh b'chol adam b'chinas Amaras Machpela b'soch libo. We all have moments of revealed godliness. We all have moments of concealed godliness. We all have a Maris Machpela buried deep in our hearts. It's my spiritual Yerushalayim we talk about from the Avos. It's Baruch Atah Hashem Magen Avraham. It's that guarded part of myself, like the Chiddush Arim explains, from Avraham Avinu inside of myself. Hagam she'ein ha'adam margish ba, machmas omas ha'kiful shel amara asher ba. But you don't recognize it because it's kuful. It's buried deep inside. It's layer upon layer. It's cave within a cave. Right? It's concealed. It's a place where the Avos seem to be dead, but are in fact really alive. It's a place where nothing seems to be happening, but big things are happening. Every person has that point inside of himself. When you daven, you're not davening the way that the Avos daven, you're davening with the Avos. The Avos are inside of you. You used to be inside of Avram, now Avram is inside of you. Tfilas HaShachar, like it says in Maseches Brachos, u'mispalel im siyua b'chinas ha'avos sheyeshbo. Now you daven with the Avos. U'lefichach tiknu birchas Avos b'tchilas ha'tfilah. That's why we start Shemona Esrei with the bracha of Avos, to remind ourselves, I'm not davening alone. I'm not only davening with the minion that hopefully I'm davening with. And it might be a big minion, it might be a good davening. Right? But I'm davening, every time I daven Shemona Esrei, I'm davening with Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Yiskasher odem ha'avosav sheyal tfilas ha'imahem. So when the tefillos go up by way of Maris Machpela, it's also not just going up in an abstract sense, it's going up through you. It's going up and through the Maris Machpela inside of yourself. That conceals connection that you have to the Avos. Aval b'china zu, where it's underlined next paragraph, aval b'china zu hi b'geniza v'atmana b'tzura she'ena niras u'mergashas v'hi kula ruchnis. But this aspect is so deep and so hidden and so purely spiritual that sometimes you, when you're in a neshama within your body, it's hard to realize that it's even there. And because it's so deep and it's so broad, it's very hard to put your finger on it. It's hard to point to it. When Avram's going to the Akedah, even from a distance he recognizes the makom. But when you're talking about Maris Machpelah, it's hard to identify it. It's very hidden. It's so big and so lofty and so pnimi that it's hard to find it and it's hard to point your finger towards it. V'agam sheyesh makom yadua b'chevron sheshal makom k'furas avos. So says Rav Wolfson, of course I know there's an actual place in Chevron called Maris Machpelah. I know there is a physical point that you actually could point to. But zeh min ha'chrech sheyam makom alei tevel shesham yu ha'avos tmunim. That's only because we're forced to have a physical place to put the bodies at the Avos HaKadosh. But can you point? Do you really know what the kever looks like? You don't know what it looks like. There's no matseva, there's no stone, there's no spot. You go to the general area, but you don't really know what's going on tachas haaretz. You don't really know what it looks like beneath that surface, within that cave.
It's a cave on top of a cave, or it's a cave within a cave. Gniza lifnim migniza v'hester b'soch hester. K'moshu b'chinas makom. avosenu gnuzim ad she'ein yodeh mekomom mestalkim b'chinas makom, kach b'chinas nefesh, b'soch libos b'nei Yisrael nekudas ha'avos, gnuza ad she'lo noda kibo el kirvana. We don't know how to find it. The same way we can't point to the physical spot of the avos, we can't point to that physical spot within ourselves. I can't point to the nekuda of the avos inside myself. It's beyond rational thought. It's even beyond my connection, my biological connection to the avos. Like we've said many times, it's the emuna pshuta that a Jew has. That it just is. I can't explain it. I can't define it. It's not based on anything. I was reading a volume this Shabbos from Rav Shagai. And he was talking about, he was trying to explain, without explaining, why he believes in Hashem. And he keeps saying, it's irrational, it doesn't make any sense. I'm not able to put it into words. I'm going to talk, but I'm not going to put it into words. He quotes the first piece in Sichos Aran. There's nothing I can say. At the end of the day, you cannot explain why you believe in Hashem. No matter how much you've learned, no matter how much you feel, no matter how much you know, right, whatever approach you like to understanding Hashem and Torah, you can't really explain, in a deep way, why you really believe in Hashem. It's something from the Avos. That's Amara within Amara. It's a cave within a cave. It's buried so deep that you can't explain it to yourself. That's the first piece in Sichos Aran from Rabbi Nachman. So we've said in the past, the Rambam to this, that how many years did the Avos live? Avram was 175, Yitzchak was 180, Yaakov was 147, it's 502, which is Gematria, and Muna Pshuta. Because the Yerusha from the Avos, the lives of the Avos left a mark on us that we don't understand. It's an Amuna that's not Sichli, it's not based on a Kabbalah, it's not based on a Mesorah from the Avos, it just is. It's some very strange and deep connection to the Avos, it just is. And that's Maaseh Machpelah. Just like it's hidden in place in this physical world, it's hidden within ourselves as well. Uva avoneinu, the bottom paragraph of page Samach Dalid, charva irenu v'shamam beis mikdashenu. Now let's go back to Yerushalayim. So that's Chevron. Let's come back to Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim, a place of revealed godliness, knew what happened to it. In our sins, we've destroyed that place. V'notel kavod zeh gilo yishchina v'makom hamiyuad liros v'leiros. The place where we saw, the place where we were seen, the place where we could see and we were seen, it's all gone. We can't come Aliyah LeRegel three times a year, the way that the Avos had their hashpa in that place, were able to daven in that place. Turn the page. Because that's gone. That world of Beis HaMikdash is gone. That world of revealed godliness has been lost, has been taken away. Chevron, Maaseh Machpelah, it's so deep, it's so hidden, it can't be destroyed. But Yerushalayim, which is revealed godliness, can be taken away. Aval Machpelah me'olam lo nechreva. But the Machpelah can't be destroyed. You can't destroy Maaseh Machpelah. Ki chorban hu hester panim hu bitel ha'avodah v'stalkus ha'shchina. V'Yerushalayim hu makom ha'gila v'ars panim. So Yerushalayim, which is a place where there's an identifiable base of mikdash, you can point to it. Zek keli vandeh. A place where you can go, and a place where you can feel, and a place where you can connect. Uvavsakas kol eila shayeh korban. So when you can't bring a korban, you can't go to Beis HaMikdash, you can't go up to Har HaBayis, when all those things are taken away from us, that's called korban. There was Gilui Shechina, and now it's gone. Aval Machpelah shu makom ha'avos behester. But a place that we never really understood, a place that we never really went, even though we've been there. The place where the Avos left their mark on this world after they left their revealed mark on this world. The place where they're buried in such a place. There can be no Chorban in such a place. It's too hidden. They can't get to it. And that teaches us, while Yerushalayim, while a certain aspect of Hashem's presence in this world has been taken away from us, but we have to remember there's something called Chevron. There's a partner city to Yerushalayim. There's a Maaseh Machpelah, a place that's so hidden that afilu ba'astara and dafka ba'astara. It's a place where we connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. U'makam ha'machpelah shimer ha'medes ha'bachin hazu hu yesod ha'galus. Maaseh Machpelah represents a place of what? A place of galus. Dahainu, Kedusha misla beshes b'chsus chalastara. When Kedusha is no longer able to be revealed, and Kedusha has to continue to exist in a concealed way. V'nishva Hashem bi'ameinu, sheheishiv achor b'zman achorban, sheme olam lo tistalik shechinasam Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu changed himself, kiviyachol. He hid himself but he never left. And therefore, when we left Yerushalayim, says the Pasuk in Eicha, in the first parak, Ve'yetzim yibasiyon kol hadara.
All of our enemies only came to the outer rooms, the outer places. Right? Haman was in the Beis HaMelech HaChitzona. Nebuchadnezzar and Titus can only destroy on the outside. Right? The Yavanim couldn't be metame the oil of the Kohen Gadol, Lifnai V'Lifnim, Kodesh Kadashim. Aval HaBepnimiyas Lo Shaltu Yadayim Chas V'Shalom.
And therefore, the most hidden places can't be touched, which is why a Jew is a Jew is a Jew. No matter what a Jew does, no matter what a Jew has gone through, no matter how a Jew is acting, there's an akuda from Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov called the Muna Pshuta, Bigamatria, the 502 years of the life of the Avos, that can't be touched. It's hidden. Chevron. Similar letters to Chorban, but very different. Look what he's going to say. Chorban means that there was something there that I could once touch, I could feel, I could hold, I could visit, I could connect to, and that was taken away. Now it's lost. The Machpelah means that what? Maris Machpelah teaches us that a dying anu mikushar mechubar lavinu shvashamayim, and therefore the same letters of Chorban can become Chevron. What in one place is the Chorban, and in another place is rearrange the letters, and there was no Chorban. Chevron, there was no Chorban. Lashon Chibur, a place of what? Attachment. Klomar, afilu bo bezman sheshchina ozeves hadome, minichreses mimakoma. Even when the Shechina has left the Makom HaMikdash, hu beis akicharev, when there is Chorban in the world, in the Makom HaMikdash, we call Makom dafka oz tovo Chevron, v'teid v'tachriz mechubar manachnu. Heichon? B'chevron. We remind ourselves in the times of Chorban, that there's still a place that's above Chorban or beyond Chorban, hidden from Chorban, and that's called Chevron, the Makom of the Avos HaKadoshim. Hagam she'achibur einu nira, even though that connection is hard to feel, it's a different type of connection. V'ish tzar v'oyev oliz v'sameach v'spar ki givesh goy v'elokam v'beis chayim. Even though it looks like we're living in Galus, and it looks like we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, and it looks like Hashem is not with us. But all of that is only on the surface. Mikol makom od yovo zman she'tigale v'tira malchuso elenu. And then the nations of the world will see what a mistake it was. You thought God wasn't with us in Galus. We were always connected. On the surface, it looked like we weren't connected anymore, but we were still connected. Chevron, what's the scariest pasuk in Chumash? What's the scariest pasuk in Tanakh? We've pointed out in the past from Rashi and Yeshaya that it's a pasuk in Parshas Vayelech in the next paragraph. The pasuk says in Vayelech Vanochi Haster Astir Panai Bayom Ahu. Vedarshu Chazal Hester Besoch Hester. A concealment within a concealment. What is Maris Machpelah? A concealment within a concealment. A double cave. It says Rav Wolfson V'yesh Lomar Shizoi Bechinas Maris Machpelah. A Mara Lifnim Mimara. A cave within a cave. A Hester Besoch Hester. Umikol Makom Betoch Hastara Kefula Mechupelis. Within all of that concealment. We're still connected to the Avos. We can still daven, and our tefillos, maybe they can't go up by way of Yerushalayim anymore because there's no Beis HaMikdash, but the tefillos can still go up by way of Chevron, by way of Maris Machpelah. V'zeu kavanos haZohar kadosh, shechevron mikusheres im Yerushalayim. Now we understand what the Zohar taught us, that Chevron and Yerushalayim are deeply connected. Shebo chevron v'limid al Yerushalayim, using some of the lashonos that we use over the course of Sukkot, the Antum of Sukkot, describing the Makom HaMikdash, that even when it looks like it's not there, things that sometimes look like they're not there are still actually there. That's what Chevron teaches. And Chevron teaches that not only about Chevron, but teaches that about Yerushalayim as well. He says an amazing thing from the Kozhet Tzur Magid. There's a little sefer from the Kozhet Tzur Magid called Yokar Mipaz. And he writes in Parshas Re'eh that the Beis HaMikdash was actually not destroyed. The Beis HaMikdash wasn't destroyed. What do you mean? I've stood at a distance and looked at the place where it once stood. I can see with my own eyes that it's not there. How can you tell me it wasn't destroyed? Says the Kozhet Tzur Magid, Beis HaMikdash lo nechrav, rak lemare einayim, aval adayin banoy b'shichlolo. But it's still standing there with all of its perfection. Right? It seems like it's gone. Right? But pnimius is still there. Whatever that means, it's a deep idea. But in Pnimius it's still there, even amidst the Hastar when it looks like it's not there. Top of the left column. Okay, Chevron, 10 more minutes and then we'll try to finish up. So what we've learned today is that Chevron and Yerushalayim actually are connected to one another. The Hemshech Mimena Kmashmas Zohar Kadosh. Right? Chevron is really a Hemshech of Yerushalayim. It's an extension of Yerushalayim. The Roy Hayasha Abbas Yikvu Yerushalayim Kihi Mekomam Lefi Bechinasam. It would have made sense on some level that the Abbas should have been buried in Yerushalayim. That was the place where they lived their lives. That's the place where they made a difference in the world. Yerushalayim who Evan Shasiyah, that's where the world was founded. Shemisham Hush Sasolam. Vereshis Habriyam Bechinas Makom, that's where God first touched down to create a world. The Abbas Haim Rosh Surim Gvaos. The Abbas are the heights of the universe. Mekor Mechsevan Shal Yisrael Bechinas Nefesh, that's where we come from. So why would the Abbas be buried in Chevron? So he says, Bikol Makom, where it's underlined, you can't be buried in Yerushalayim. Because Yerushalayim is sometimes up, and Yerushalayim is sometimes down. Yerushalayim is sometimes the most revealed, and Yerushalayim is sometimes in a state of Chorban. And therefore, Yerushalayim lefi inyana, hi makom sha'avonos yecholim ligrom Chorban. Yerushalayim, for whatever it's worth, is a place that can be ruined. Right? The averos that a Jew does affect Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is a place where averos matter. Chevron is a place where, so to speak, averos don't matter. Of course averos matter, but it means it doesn't make a mark. It doesn't leave a stain that can't be erased. Yerushalayim, averos cause Chorban Beis HaMikdash. Right? Fill in the chazal of your choice. Lo charv Yerushalayim ella bishvil or ella ta. Yerushalayim was destroyed because of plug in the following of Eru. Chevron. Baras Machpela can't be destroyed. Because it represents an akuda of the avos that can't be touched. It's a nitzut zesh yefshar lichavos. It's a spark of light that can't be extinguished. Val nakuda zu ispal Yaakov. And this is what Yaakov says at the end of Parshas Vayechi. Bisodam al tavon afshi. Meaning, lo nisker shemo achet barav. Yaakov says there's going to be a Korach who comes from me, from one of my descendants. And when it refers to Korach, it says that Korach is who? Korach, Ben Yitzhar, Ben Kahas, Ben Levi. It doesn't say Ben Yaakov. Because Yaakov says, please Hashem, don't let the chait reach the avos. Let there be an aspect of the avos that's untouchable. Even big averos won't touch it. That's what Yaakov davened, that's what he got. Ki chait ino magia sham, kamo shapirash ha-rachayim ha-kadosh ha-mikrazeh. Like the rachayim ha-kadosh and many other tzaddikim explain. Averos can't reach the place of the avos. That nekuda of purity inside of a Jew. Had the Avos HaKadoshim be buried in Yerushalayim, a place of revelation, just like Yerushalayim can be destroyed, had the Avos been in Yerushalayim, the Avos could have been destroyed. The connection to the Avos could have been destroyed. We have to go to a place which can't be destroyed. We have to go to a place like Chevron. Jump down a few lines. He quotes a pasuk from the Meragim. Meragim said, "V'sham ra'inu es hanafilim b'nei anak min hanafilim." Hanu lefi ros ha'ayin. The Meragim said, "We see that this is a scary place." Avam mashalo ra'o Meraglim, where it's underlined, "Hayakoch chidushasun shala avos lemat ba'astara mara lefnim mara." But what's hard to see is beyond those giants. Beyond all those scary experiences in Eretz Yisrael, right? Things that can get very frightening at times, there's something that is not frightening at all. There's something that's so deeply protected and nothing can harm it. And that's that nekuda from the Avos. And now we understand the two pshatim in Rashi. Now we're starting to come back to some of our questions we asked at the beginning of the shir. Nimsa sheshnei perushim shal Rashi tzrichim zel lezeh kedei legalos hamahus in yonah shel amara. Says Rashi, why is it called Kiryas Arba? Because of those Rishon who were buried there. Right? Because that klipa of tumah, because of those giants, because of what the Meraglim said, it's Ephes, it's impossible. But it's impossible for us to win. There's no way. There's no weapon that we have that's big enough to defeat such an enemy. That's all on the surface. That's how things appear to us. But if you look deeper, why is it really called Kiryas Arba? Look a little deeper. Look past those giants, and you realize that there's avos, that there's something that's even bigger than those giants. Right? Hard to recognize at times, but it's buried somewhere deep inside. Says Rashi, Lefichach, last four lines on the page. Lefichach chikdim Rashi. That's why Rashi mentions Kiryas Arba al Shem Ha'anakim. First he mentions the giants. Va'acher kach he explains the Avos. Ki anigla v'hanira la'ayim Mizgala Kodam Hanister Shatzarach Hezbonanus. Because when you look at the place on the surface, you see giants. You look a little deeper, you see real giants. You see the Avos HaKadosh. Okay, turn the page. Umaisa b'meraglim. When the meraglim says, where did the meraglim come to? Vayavo ad Chevron. Who davened in Chevron? Perish Rashi, Kalev davened in Chevron. Kalev davened that I shouldn't get caught up in the giants. I should be able to see past the giants. I should believe in Klal Yisrael's inherent connection to Eretz Yisrael. I should believe that we're going to be able to pull off upsets when it doesn't make sense. Ulechor Akasha says Rav Olson where it's underlined. Im hirgish tzarach zuchus tfila, lama lo halach lebeis tfila zo Yerushalayim. If Kalev knew he needed to daven, so why didn't he go to Yerushalayim? Lamakom tfila sa avus l'shar shemayim. Why did he daven dafka where? He daven dafka in Chevron. Because Kalev understood that Yerushalayim is a place, right, that is sometimes great and sometimes broken. What came from the Meraglim? Chevron. What happened because of the Meraglim? What day are we so fortunate to have because of the Meraglim? It's called Tisha B'Av. It's called Chorban Yerushalayim. So Kalev says, I can't daven Yerushalayim. Kalev is trying to protect himself from the eitz of his friends. And his friends, who were chashuv people, who made a horrible mistake, brought Chorban, brought a veilus to the world. I can't go to Yerushalayim to daven. Kalev says, I need to know how I'm going to be able to survive when there's no Yerushalayim. I need to understand how to survive after the Chorban. Right? They spoke negatively about Yerushalayim and they destroyed Yerushalayim. Kalev says, I'm going to a place that's untouchable. Second paragraph. Lufia Amor, moving quickly because I want to finish up. Nichash Yisrael v'chavnim p'neim l'Yerushalayim b'tfila. Ki Yerushalayim makom tfila. Why do we face Yerushalayim when we daven and not Chevron? If Chevron is so great, if Chevron has this great secret, why do we face Yerushalayim? Right? We face Yerushalayim because Yerushalayim is a place of revealed tefillah. Aval einam mechavnim lechevron. We don't align ourselves with Chevron. Ki Chevron hu makom sheremez she'ein talay klum b'makom. Va'afilu kishayotzim en ha'makom adayin shechino b'solcheno. When I'm trying to point in a particular direction, when we talk about particulars, that's Yerushalayim. But when we talk about something that's beyond makom, beyond space, I can't point towards Chevron. The whole idea of Chevron is that Chevron transcends time. Chevron transcends space. Chevron is a mystery. Chevron is a chibur in a time of Chorban. Same letters as Chevron. The Chevron u'makom shemachusa v'ganus ha'makom. Chevron's a hidden place. You can't point in the direction of a hidden place. That's the whole secret of Chevron. And that's why Yerushalayim is always called ha'makom. Throughout Tanakh, says Rav Wolfson, you find that Yaris ha'makom irachol. Right, Avram sees the place from a distance. Yaakov comes by Yifka b'makom. He comes to the makom. Yeah, David HaMelech is looking for ha'makom asher yifchar Hashem. Yerushalayim is always the makom. It's a place you can point to. But if it's something you can hold in your hand, it could also slip out of your hands. You can't hold Chevron in your hand, and it can't slip out of your hand. Chevron is protected in a unique way. And therefore, he says in the end of the paragraph, where it's underlined, v'im ha'yuponim l'chevron, if we would point towards Chevron, ha'yiz astira l'bechinas Chevron. It's a stira to the whole inyan of Chevron, that the Shechina is with Yisrael. In any place, not a particular place. V'yadua Maimar Chazal, the bottom paragraph. There are Dalid Yesodos Babriya. This is really amazing what Rav Wolfson says. The world is made up of Esh, Ruach, Afar, and Mayim. Everything is made up of fire, and wind, and water, and earth. V'yesod ha'rishon. And the best Yesod, the first Yesod, is what we call Esh. We always start with Esh. As far as I'm putting it in different orders, but everyone puts Eish first and puts Afar last. Ruach and Mayim sometimes get changed around. At least that's what I've seen in Sfarim. But Eish is always first and Afar is always last. Yerushalayim is a place of Eish. Yerushalayim is compared to Eish. V'chol avodas beis hamikdash is the Eish, the fire of the Mizbeach. Right? The Eish tamid tuka, lo sichba. U'v'eish HaKadosh Baruch Hu asid livnosa. The beis hamikdash was burnt, destroyed through Eish. And also live no sabesh. I'm going to build a third base of a base of mikdash of fire. Aval eish mekabel shinoi umemar lehefsid ulibatel mikol shar hayisodos. But you know what the thing with eish is? Eish can be so powerful, it can be so strong, right? But eish also needs something to fuel it. And if it runs out of fuel, it can run out. It can be extinguished. Right? The candle that's burning so bright, when it runs out of fuel, fizzles out so quickly. So it's so powerful on the one hand, and yet it could so easily be extinguished. Right? A little breath of air, a little bit of water could put out such a powerful koach called Eish. And therefore Yerushalayim is destroyed. Therefore Eish can be extinguished. What about Chevron? Says Rav Wolfson at the top of the left column, Chevron is a makum kvura. Chevron is afar. You can't destroy dirt. You can't destroy dirt. Chevron was purchased from who? From Ephron. Ephron is afar. Right? He says, Tamakum kvura, tadama, because Yushasa he be a sod afar. There's a secret. Afar is a big secret. Shua yosu megusha machon mikol dalad yesodos. Afar is the lowest of the yesodos. It's earthly. It's physical. It's tangible. It's the one that's the most easy to hold in your hand, more so than water, than for wind and the fire. But you can't really change afar. Afar is afar. You can't destroy afar. Va'aretz la'olam amadas. The land stands forever. Va'lachein charva Yerushalayim be'esh. The fire of Yerushalayim went out. The light of the Beis Hamikdash was extinguished. The light of the Mizbeach was extinguished. But the afar, Chevron, there's no Chorban in Chevron. And therefore, says Rav Wolfson, we come full circle. There are two most beloved places in Eretz Yisrael for a Jew. Yerushalayim is gevaldik. But Yerushalayim, as fiery as it is, that fire can be extinguished. The danger of something being too lofty. It could be the ultimate Kedusha, it could be the ultimate Chorban. And then there's Chevron. Yerushalayim, David acquired from who? Amazing. Look how everything in Torah is so precise. David got Yerushalayim from who? From a Ravna. A Ravna, Chazal says, is a lashon of Or Eish. Maharal says, right, that Aaron or Aaron. Anytime you have an Aleph and a Reish, it's Merames and a Nun. It's Merames to fire, to Or, to Eish. Uvidir hayamim nikra, right, Arnan hayavusi. Arnan is gematria Eish. The base of Mikdash, Yerushalayim, it's a place of fire. Aval hamachpela was acquired from Afar, from Ephron, Ephron Achiti. Shabo ain't surely strafe of a chorban, but you can't destroy earth. You can't destroy dirt. And that's why Chevron has a certain koach that's even greater than Yerushalayim. Chevron, let's answer one of our other questions. Nu, l'chvod d'chassam. Haba aleinu l'tova. Very soon. So listen, let's go back to our question. You want to start your marriage under the chuppah with a kinyan kesef? With Ephron? With Ephron, with the acquisition of a mysterious cave? We don't even know what it is? Look what he says. The ultimate wedding, of course, is Kutcha Brichu and Klal Yisrael. Kutcha Brichu is Shchinte. Val Yisod Zen Nischaber Sefer Shir Hashirim. Shir Hashirim is all about our intimate relationship with the Kutcha Brichu. Avnam Bikidusha Evinisue Isha. But when you marry a woman, there's two aspects to it. Aleph, one. Yesh Kedushin Hashaychim. Vapoelim Beguf. Yeah? There's two people who are getting married. There's Daniel, Michal, Yishayo, and there's Ahava Rina. I got it right? Getting married. Okay. It's two bodies. Right? It's a neshama beguf. It's two people. We're going to move into a home together. We're going to build a bias together. Yeah? Two bodies. Two physical revealed. Right? You can point to them. You can say, this is him and this is her. They're getting married. But then there's something else that's happening. That there's a neshama that belongs to one person and a neshama that belongs to another person, which is actually really one neshama that's reuniting in a way that no one can see. You can't see that under the chuppah. Right? You can't see these souls coming together under the chuppah. V'yesh inyan shal haskashrus haneshamos asher kodim yitziras havlad haisa kvar nishmas bas ploni shayachas l'ploni. You can't see that there's a baskel that came out before either of them were ever created. Yeah, that said that Ahava Rina is one day going to marry Daniel. No one can see that. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu orchestrates that behind the scenes. V'akedushin megalim al inyan zeh l'mafreya u'mechazkim as a kesher b'ofen shenase asura l'chol ha'olam u'myuchaz l'sabala. Through the marriage, through giving that ring, she becomes permitted to her husband and usher to everyone else. But that's just, on the surface it looks like that. On a pnimius level, it was always that way. They were never fit for anyone else. They're coming back together. U'masha nishamos miyuchados v'sheicha zeh l'zeh zeh b'chinas iskasya. But that's so hidden. The Chazan and Kala, I think they understand it, but even they don't really understand it. They understand it more than anyone else who superficial. Oh yeah, I see why they're a good couple. They're cute together because, oh, they have similar values. Oh yeah, they look alike. Or, oh yeah, they had a similar background. Whatever reasons you could offer, the Chazan and Kala say, like, you fool. You think that's why we're getting married? We really know why we're getting married. But even the Chazan and Kala, they don't really know why they're getting married. They don't understand how the Neshamas came together, how they met and how it came to be that way. The Medrash and Emor says in the Pasuk, B'chodesh HaShvi B'echad HaChodesh. I'm not sure who it is. Reish Ches. B'shem Rebbe Levi Pasach. I don't know. Maybe Rebbe Chista. B'shem Rebbe Levi Pasach. B'noeg Sheba'olam Mahabrios Omros Ish Ploni Yisa Plonis. Right? Achevel b'nei Adam. Plonis tinase leploni kozav b'nei ish. Heima mehevel yachad. Amrav, I'm not sure who. Achehema dayan hevel me'iman heim yachad. Says the Medrash. Right? People think it's this. Nah, it's not it. It's not it. It's not it. Before they ever existed, they were yachad. They were one. So we don't understand. We don't understand what brings the chasan and kala together. Gemara in Sanhedrin says in the pasuk, ki letzela nachon u'mich avi negdi tamid. Re'u yahaisa bas sheva le'davin mishesh tmei bereishis. El sheba lo b'machov. David and Bathsheba were always meant to be together, but they came together in a very painful way. The Marsha explains, Shadar Zos Min, darshan different the words, Ani Litzela Nachon. Tzela means what? The rib of Adam Rishon. From the beginning of time, every Shidduch was made. Right? And we have to work to find each other. Ki Adam Simon Lechol Tzatzav. What happened with Adam? That part of himself became his spouse. That's a raya for every Jew who ever will be. That we're one with our spouse. Ki Adam Simon Lechol Tzatzav, where it's underlined, Kishem Shaya Gush Echad. Just like Adam and Chava were one entity. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu divided it, and eventually they came back together. That's what happens. That Metzias Aveda, as Chazal described it in Kedushin, happens when every Chassan and Kala get together. Turn one more page. This is the final page for today. The next paragraph. V'nei yadua shekol masha po'al adam be'eretz ha'tachtona halazu. So we have to realize that everything that's happening in this world is just a mashal, which means Adam and Chava being married, and Avram and Sarah being married, and Yaakov and Rachel and Leah all being married, yeah? And Moshe Tzvi and Eliza Tamar being married, and Daniel Michal Yishayahu and Ahava Rina being married. And every marriage, it's all a dimyon. It's all just a miniature version of something much, much greater. Everything that happens in this world, again, Be'eretz HaTachtona, Nasa Dugmaso Be'elyon. When we do our little miniature version in this world, it allows it to connect on high. Uvisarusa de la tata itar le'ela. And through our actions below, there's a yisarusa de la'ela, something happens above. Ve'inyanza yafan isabar b'parak aleph of the Nefesh HaChaim, where the Nefesh HaChaim explains, da ma l'mal mimcha, Mishnah Pirkei Avos, pashu pshat, know what is above you. Says the Nefesh HaChaim with deeper pshat, what does it mean? Ratzalomar, im ki eincha roa be'einecha anyanim hano ra'im hanasim ma'asecha. Even though you can't see the wondrous things that happen because of your actions, but where it's underlined, haval teida ne'amana, ki kol ma'ashen nasa bo'olamos halyonim gevoim v'gevoim. Everything that happens on high, hakol mimchahu. How is the Nefesh HaChaim reading the Mishnah? The exact same way that the Magid of Mezrich read the Mishnah. Da ma'ala ma'ala mimcha. Know that what happens above, mimcha, is from you. Not just know what is above you, but da ma'ala ma'ala, know that what happens above, mimcha, is from you. You cause it to happen. Alpi ma'asecha la'an notim. Whichever way you go, that's the way things happen on high. Ayin sham ba'arichas, he brings from Kadmonim. Sha'akol toli lefi dargas ha'adam, right? Obviously, the greater the person is, the more of a hashpa it has on high. And the avos, of course, who are merkava l'shchina, have the biggest hashpa. Next paragraph. V'nira. Asher alachein ishtadal Avram avinu liknos makum kever la'atzma l'sara. Why is Avram so committed to buying Maris Machpelah? Whatever it's going to cost, whatever it's going to take. Right? He's dealing with an Ephron. He needs this Afar. He needs Chevron, a lashon of Chibur. He needs this place for him and his wife. Kimasha Sara Shayachas La'Avram. Ukshura Boy the Chubb of a Kedushin. Because that marriage called Avram and Sarah, Zema'ur Lamala Dugma Bahanim Shalaza. That awakens above what? Yichud Kuchabrichu Imrayaso Knesset Yisrael. If Avram and Sarah stick together, then guess what? Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Kal Yisrael stick together. V'lachein hikpid lahachin makum chibur shesham yish'arum yuchadim zel azeh afilu la'acher hachayim haguftim. Avram wants to say, we're not only together when we're alive, when we have common interests, when we do things that, activities that we both enjoy. Avram wants to say that even when it's all over, we're still together. Because the bond is not based on what we're doing together. It's not based on the things that we experience together. The bond is much deeper than that. Beyond the neshama within the body. Hu v'yitzchak v'yakov v'neshoseihim. Every single one of them. They're living on after they're no longer alive. K'dei sha'avot shem merkava yigrimu shalo tufsak li'olam. Ha'yichot shem merkava al'yonu. When Avram stays with Sarah, when they're alive and doing a lot, and when they're not seemingly alive or doing a lot, that keeps Klal Yisrael and Kadosh Baruch Hu together. When we're alive and doing a lot, or where it seems like Hashem is hiding, or Hashem doesn't exist, God forbid, and it looks like we barely exist because we're barely doing anything in terms of our avodas Hashem. But the avos stay together with their wives, and we stay together with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Hashochim b'soch chenesses Yisrael. V'amachpela mora al zivug haneshamos. The machpela alludes to this zivug, this deep, intimate connection. Sharei afilu la'achar achayim, adayin mischarim hazugos yachar. Hafalfisha kvar nifsak iskashras yalzgalia. Even though in a revealed way, the story is over. But on a concealed way, the story continues. Ki mekusharim heim ade ad. Bekesher she'en atole b'maisa kedushin. That's why we offer a chasan and kala bracha. V'hiskin lo mimenu binyan ad de'ad. You should be together forever. Because you are together forever. You always were together. You looked like you were apart for a little bit of time. Right? But b'shavu v'anam l'gvula. It's a rachel imenu who's davening for on the side of the road. So says Rav Wolfson. But going back to the nimshal. V'animshal she'acher tzeis Yisrael michupas naveh. Naveh she'anan hi Yerushalayim. When Klal Yisrael left the chuppah, so to speak, Yerushalayim. V'golim el admas nechar. And we seem to be living amongst who? Someone other than her husband. They're forever connected who doda to a Kadosh Baruch. Whom you had this boy is Baruch, but yichud nifla v'atzum kimei olam. V'kekadim. And therefore, when a Jew spends Parshas Chayesara outside of Eretz Yisrael, and you're thinking about Jews who are going there for Shabbos to Chevron, maybe Halvayish, maybe you should go. But if you're going to be here, and you feel far, you feel detached, just remind yourself what Chevron is. Chevron is a place of chibur that's not even a place. It's an experience outside of Yitzhak. And again, I always feel bad saying this line from the Tzadikim of Lubavitch. Right? Machadar Yitzhak. Make this Yitzhak. Why do I have to go to Yitzhak? Make this into Yitzhak. We should go to Yitzhak. I don't want to be the type of Jew who spends his whole life living off that vart. We should go to Yitzhak. If we have a reason to be here, we have to be here. But if we don't have a reason to be here, we have to put Yitzhak as our direction. That's where we need to be. To try to live in Yitzhak. Right? Mamish. But when you can't be in Yitzhak, and even if we're in Eretz Yisrael, we don't have a base of Mikdash, we should realize we have Chevron. There's a Chibur, there's a relationship, there's a Hiskashas, there's a Yichud that goes beyond time and place. V'agam shalifi rosa ayin, even though it looks like we got divorced from Hashem, but look at all the Pesukim he says. The Pesuk in Yirmiyah. V'atena sefer krisuseha eleha. Aval ba'astara me'olam lo garsha. Yes, it looks on the surface like we got divorced. That they gave us the krisus, the sefer krisus, the divorce document. But says the Navi Yeshaya, "Ve'eze sefer krisos imchem." But really, is there really a document of divorce? There is no document of divorce. It looks like it on the surface. But Maris Machpelah reminds us that the kesher with the Kadosh Baruch Hu is a kesher shel kayam. Go to the left side of the page. Ve'avram b'sara, sheheim hayu aziva garishon b'Yisrael. So we look back to the first Jewish couple. We look back to Avram and we look back to Sarah, and we look at the bond that they formed together, and how sweet it is. Says Rav Wolfson, where it's underlined, and this is the last paragraph we'll read. We learn the foundation of all Jewish marriage. Isha nicknames Bekesef, Ephraim, Maris Machpelah, Avram getting ripped off, Avram burying his wife. Because we want to say under the chuppah, of course we're going to have a beautiful life together. And of course we're going to do so many things together. We're going to accomplish so much together. But the kesher goes way beyond that. The kesher goes to the grave. When we're not doing anything together. When our bodies are no longer functioning. And yet there's still a kesher shel kayam. She alfinan kedushe kol Yisrael dafka imar svach pela. She mitzias marazu meida umagida. She ein zivug Yisrael davar hanifsak. That the zivug, that the hiskashras between us and the Kadosh Baruch Hu, is a binyan adead umegia ad l'neshamos. And there's no simon tov better than that. Better than any date that you can get married, any location you can get married. That kesef that Avram paid, kicha kicha mistei Ephron, is the greatest chus for the Jewish people. Okay, there's a little more to the Mimer. Still have two pages, I'm not going to do it now. We didn't answer the question in terms of Yaakov marrying two wives. So you have to work on that to try to understand also why Rachel is buried in a revealed way and Leah is buried in a concealed way. How Kever Rachel ties into this whole sugya. But again, it's an unbelievable piece. It's one of the most famous and lengthy pieces of Rav Wolfson, and a piece you really have to know. It's a famous piece on Yerushalayim and Chevron, how they're connected to each other. So Birta Hashem, we should be zochet to return to Yerushalayim in a revealed way and see the Bayis Shlishi. But until that time, we should know that we're still 100% connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu by way of that Yichud that is represented by Chevron and Maris Machpelah. Shkoyach, Chevron.